Good morning. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you along with us this morning. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about restoration. We talked about the need for restoration and the fact that we need to seek God in order to have restoration. And this morning, I'd like to talk about restoring our strength. In this lesson, we're going to look at the origin and the boundaries of strength in our lives, how far those boundaries reach, and what's contained within. Let me explain. Most people working a job today have some type of agreement for time off, whether it's a vacation time, sick time, or some type of benefits that allow them time off. Vacation time allows us to leave the workplace and enjoy some time of relaxation away from the job. However, after our vacation, we sometimes find ourselves back to the daily grind of life and exhaustion is present again. So what is it that makes us get up and go to work after vacation? It takes willpower and strength. But where does that strength come from? Probably knowing that we have to go or we're going to be fired helps a little bit. And if we get fired, we won't have an income. If we don't have an income, we can't survive. This morning, let's talk about restoring our strength for God. And first of all, we can restore our strength through the commitment that we have to God. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Solomon, in all of his wisdom, his possessions, and glory, saw the awesome power of serving the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, we read, "Remember now the Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" And Ecclesiastes chapter 12 at verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Is your commitment to God more than your commitment to things? Secondly, we can renew our strength through our commitment to Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." You see, Paul left behind his status in the Jewish community for the knowledge of Christ. We read in verse 4, where it says, "Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless." You know, to know somebody is to know more than just the facts about somebody. You may know that George Washington was the first president of the United States. You may have also heard that when he was 6 years old, he received a hatchet as a gift, and then he went and damaged his father's cherry tree. And when his father found out about it, he confronted little George about it, and we're told that George Washington said, "I cannot tell a lie. I damaged the tree." But did you know that that's a myth? You see, to know somebody is to know more than just facts. When you get to know Jesus, you'll know more than just about the facts of His life. You will be one with Him, and you will want to do what He would want you to do. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If we are attached to the vine, the fruit will come. If we truly know Jesus, we will bear fruit. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Well, who could tell that Peter and John had been with Jesus? It was the folks that they were trying to teach. My question is, can people tell where you've been? Are you even trying to teach as Jesus would have you? Are you even a Christian as Jesus would want you to be so you could go to heaven? Is your commitment to Jesus more than your commitment to other things? Thirdly, we can restore our strength through our commitment to the body. You see, members of the body of Christ are all different, but committed to each other because they are committed to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 tell us that we are many members, but we're one body, and we all act together in concert to make things work properly. And in Acts chapter 2, at verse 44, it says, Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see, members of the church support each other. It's a need that we have. Romans 15:1 tells us, Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Galatians 6:1-2 reads, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you be tempted also. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christians must be committed to each other in order to have the strength of Jesus Christ. Next, we can restore our strength through our commitment to the work of the Lord. You see, if you're committed to Jesus and committed to the body, the work is going to follow. Jesus said, For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. So if you are committed to Jesus, the work is going to come natural for you. Remember that we talked about being one with Jesus and doing what He would do? Hebrews chapter 3 at verse 13 says, But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And Colossians 3:16 says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And Mark 16:15 says, And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Those who are committed to Jesus will be committed to the work even when nobody else is. You'll visit even when there's not a visitation program. You'll gather clothes for those in need. You won't quit because things aren't exciting. You won't quit because others quit. You won't quit. Why? Because you are committed. there are some keys to restoring our strength. If you want to be more committed, here are four things that might help you. First of all, Bible study. Like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." And 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that the Bible is our standard. Are we truly studying the Bible to make sure that we have all the answers we need to get to heaven? Next, we can restore our strength and we can be more committed by looking to Jesus. Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." And Hebrews 12, 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." And next, it's important that we have a prayer life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." If we continue to trust God and pray to God and thank Him and ask Him for the things that we need, God will continue to bless us and we'll get stronger. And finally, fellowship. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." When we're together, we can continue to strengthen each other. Christians, I implore you, don't miss because of what you miss when you miss. Make sure that you attend the worship services of the church and the Bible study of the church. If you're not a Christian, don't miss out. Make sure that you follow the gospel plan of salvation. Let's end with John chapter 20 at verse 19. John chapter 20, beginning with verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came out and stood in the midst, and he said to them, 'Peace be with you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." Verse 24. "Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We have seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Folks, when we miss the services of the church, we miss Jesus. We miss actively seeking the presence of God for worship. Don't miss out. Be committed. Restore your strength so you can go to heaven. In order to go to heaven, the Bible teaches upon hearing the word of God, one must believe it to be true, repent of their sins, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. If you've done that, great job. Keep up the good work. Keep up your commitment. Restore and renew your strength on a daily basis. If you're failing God, repent. And if we can help you in any way, let us know at any time. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. You can stop by and see us. We meet on Sundays for Bible study at 9:30. Our worship begins at 10:25 and then again at 6 p.m. And we meet for Bible study each Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can stop by and visit with us at any time. If you'd like, you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com or give me a call at 304-727-0761. If you're interested in attending the services of the Lord's Church, but you're not in the St. Albans area, feel free to contact me and I'll get you in touch with someone who can help you. Again, I thank you for joining us this morning, and we invite you to join us once again next week for Words of Truth.